So when my kids were younger, elementary school, the school where we lived made a big day out of the 100th day of school. Do they still do that? Has that happened to other folks as well? Right? You had to bring in 100 of something or another, 100 paper clips, 100 erasers, 100 macaroni noodles, something or another to do. And the teachers had special pencils they would give out or a special t-shirt to mark that day, or there were 100 M&Ms that the kids could eat. Something or another. It's a educational opportunity, a chance to reinforce math skills. It was more than halfway through 180 days of the school year, so that was something to celebrate. I really think, in truth, it was because it was the middle of winter and you needed a reason to have some type of a celebration. So 100 days of school seemed like a pretty good idea. Well, friends, sadly, this past week, we marked 100 days of something else, something not worthy or meriting celebration, but important to note nonetheless. This is 100 days of captivity for those who were taken hostage by Hamas. That's 100 days that those folks have been in dark tunnels or in cramped rooms, 100 days apart from their family and friends, 100 days without knowing what would happen next. And 100 days for the families of those hostages in agony and in worry. We know there were some 250 folks taken on October 7th, men and women and children, ranging from elderly Holocaust survivors to toddlers, teens and young adults, even an 8 or 9 month old who actually this week marked his first birthday in captivity. Some of them were soldiers, but most of them were, in fact, civilians living near Gaza or attending that music festival out in the desert nearby. Fortunately, about 100 of them or so were freed during that November ceasefire until Hamas broke off that deal. And that some number of those that are left are believed now to have perished, their bodies being kept by the terrorists even still as bargaining chips. This week, there was even a deal. Did you see this in the news? To get medicine to those who had been held hostage. Life-saving, badly needed medicine for a variety of different afflictions. Who would have thought that there needed to be a special deal to do that? That the International Red Cross couldn't gain access to the hostages to be able to deliver the needed medical care to them. Instead, it became just another bargaining chip. There have been efforts throughout these 100 days and more by the families to keep the plight of the hostages front and center. There have been posters and banners and t-shirts, a daily vigil in the square in Tel Aviv. There have been social media posts by a whole number of different folks, one of them in particular by a woman named Rachel Goldberg. Rachel Goldberg Polin is the mother of Hirsch Goldberg, who was taken from the Nova Musical Festival, actually injured in it. They believe his arm was amputated as part of it. She has, for the last 100+ days, taken a piece of masking tape, written on it the number of days, and worn that on her clothing and posted that online each day. Some have taken to wearing the blue ribbons that we've been distributing that we have available at Temple. Mine actually is on my jacket, which I took off. I forgot about that. And folks are sharing info and posts about this. Everyone in Israel knows someone or knows someone's family who is one of these hostages. And for many, it is all that they think about. But I have to tell you, I've been amazed at the lack of empathy from the world around us, at the hostages of the 100 or more that are certainly left alive, and the fact that they don't seem to register much on the compassion of everyone else in our world. Few around the world seem to be seeing their plight. Lila tomorrow morning is going to teach us her Torah portion in Parshat Bo about the final three plagues of the Exodus story. And plague number 9, we know, is the plague of darkness. Darkness enveloped the whole land of Egypt. We're told, "Velo ra'u ish et achiv," one person could not see another. Well, our ancient sages tell us that this was actually a physical type of darkness, palpable, tangible, so thick that you could actually touch it. Our modern sages take a more metaphorical approach, that it was even more than that. The Evan HaEzel, a sage living in Lithuania in the late 1800s, said, "The greatest darkness is when a person does not see his fellow and does not participate in the distress of others. And the Katav Sofer, a Hungarian rabbi of the same time in the late 1800s, wrote, when a person does not see others or does not want to see them, then there is darkness in the world. Those who cannot see the darkness, those who cannot see the distress of the hostages and despair of their family, are caught in this modern plague of darkness as deep as that in Egypt long ago. There's another lesson in this week's portion that I think we also have to bear in mind. And that's after the 10th plague, Pharaoh, we know, finally lets the Israelites go. He lets them leave Egypt. But for the first nine, there's this pattern that happens. And in each one of them, after the plague is finally ended, we are told that Pharaoh's heart is hardened. Pharaoh's heart is hardened. There are a couple of different verbs that are used to describe this over the different chapters, but most of them are connected to the word kabed, which means to make heavy or to be a great weight. Pharaoh's heart is weighted down by hatred, by disdain, by scorn of the Israelites. He will not see their suffering or their pain. He does not care about their agony. His heart is hardened and it weights him down. His heart is calcified and cannot let in any compassion or any softness. Friends, as we mark 100 days of the hostages being held, we know that this is 100 days since the barbaric and horrific terrorist attacks upon Israel. And we recognize as well that it is 100 days of war. War that has sought justice for those killed or attacked, war that has sought safety for the Israelis, and to some measure has succeeded at least in stopping further mass attacks. And some of the terrorists have been brought to justice and some of the guilty have been killed. But we have to acknowledge that this has also brought 100 days of death and destruction among the innocent, among the civilians in Gaza, who are also terrorized by Hamas, who do not want religious fundamentalists governing them, who reject the ideology of hatred. There are Palestinian victims of this war suffering death and hurt and pain as these cowardly terrorists hide among them and cynically use them as human shields or allow them to die just to further Hamas's own propaganda goals. Hamas could end this war today by releasing the hostages and giving up their control, but they won't. War is awful and horrible and messy and deadly. And while I believe that Israel must defend herself and must root out the terror and must safeguard Israeli citizens, I worry about the cost of this. I worry about how it is being done. I worry about the toll that it is taking. And I worry that too many in our world are also allowing their hearts to be hardened like Pharaoh. We cannot look at the pain and the despair of Gaza's civilians and not feel for them. We must have that same sense of compassion and that same sense of care. Compassion, friends, is not a zero-sum game. We can care deeply about the fate of the hostages and recognize the misery of the situation in Gaza. This is not some sporting event where we fight over whether my pain is better or more or greater than yours, as if anybody could win that type of competition. Instead, we must be sure that our hearts remain soft and not hardened, that our eyes remain open and not blinded by darkness. Rachel Goldberg-Poland, the mother of hostage Hirsch, who I mentioned just a little bit ago, she recognized this shared sense of pain between mothers in Israel and mothers in Gaza, and she crafted a poem she wrote called One Tiny Seed. These are her words. She wrote, "There is a lullaby that says, your mother will cry 1,000 tears before you grow to be a man. I have cried 1,000,000 tears in the last 67 days," when she wrote this. "We all have. And," she writes, "I know, way over there is another woman who looks just like me because we are also very similar. And she has also been crying. All those tears, our sea of tears, they all taste the same. Can we take them, gather them up, remove the salt, and pour them over our desert of despair? And plant one tiny seed, a seed wrapped in fear and trauma and pain and war, and hope, and see what grows. Could it be that this woman, so very like me, that she and I could be sitting together in 50 years, laughing without teeth because we have drunk so much sweet tea together, and now we are so very old and our faces are creased and worn out like paper bags, and our sons have their own grandchildren, and our sons have long lives. Is it all a dream or a fantasy, a prophecy? One tiny seed. As we mark these 100 days, we pray, may our eyes not be blinded by darkness. May our hearts not be hardened by hatred. May our eyes see the suffering and hurt and pain of all of God's children. May our hearts be softened with understanding and with compassion for all. May this be God's will. And together we say, Amen.